church. I have a friend who has become very close in the recent past, and he was going to come on Christmas Day to church, and he said, "Where does your church meet?" And I said, "Somewhere near NIBM Road." And since he's a Punite, he said, "I've never seen a church there." And I said, "Well, we don't have a building. And our church is not what you imagine a church to be, with a building and a steeple and a cross, because we don't believe that's a church." And I'm sure all of us sitting here have got over that phase of our thinking about what is a church. The church is really people who belong to Jesus and who love Jesus and come together to worship Him. And that's not it. That's not all of it. Beyond our worship, God wants us to also be available to serve Him. In fact, if it was only about worship, the best thing that could have happened to us as soon as we are born again is for God to take us to heaven, because we would be perfect in worship in heaven. That's where perfect worship is going to take place, as far as we're concerned. There is already perfect worship taking place in heaven. But God left us on earth to worship Him, both in word and song, in our fellowship together as we meet, not only Sundays but any other days. But then that worship should lead us into responsible service, which many of us call ministry. We should all be involved in ministry. And when Disciples Community Church started, we had this in mind, that we would emphasize discipleship, and we would emphasize that as disciples of Jesus, we would follow Him in such a way that we would serve one another and serve in our places of work or wherever God has placed us. There's lots of things that need to be done. Lots of things. And I could spend a lot of time spelling some of these things out. Just in Sunday getting together, things need to be done. Chairs need to be put out and cleaned up. Hymn books need to be put out and put back. Simple things like that. Food needs to be served. But then also in the world there are things to be done. For instance, yesterday I got a call from someone who works in Sharjah. And he called and said, "Pastor Chris, I'm passing through and would like to have someone come and collect a donation for Love Maharashtra Ministry from a friend in Sharjah." And so I went to the railway station to meet this brother. And on the way, as I was walking down the streets after parking the scooter to the railway station, I saw a man lying on the road. He was just lying there. And obviously, the first thought that comes to my mind is, why is a man lying on the middle of the road in daylight? He must have got drunk and fell down. So I went to see him, because something has to be done, right? Who's going to do it? And then I thought, I might get into some trouble, so let me ask the shopkeepers around. So I asked and inquired. And then I crossed the road and I saw three traffic policemen, and there were some more. So I went to the policeman and told them, "Hey, there's a man lying there." And so I had to persuade them a little bit to get something going to pick up that man. And then I went and met Sanjeev. And as we went to have some interviews, I went back to the cops and said, "Have you done something?" There are things like that to be done. Who's going to do it? I mean, who's going to care? It's easy not to care. Even when we see something as obvious as that, there's a man lying there. And so what if he's drunk and it's his fault? Who's going to serve? The church should really be a people who love to serve, who spontaneously serve. I'm prone to say that I'm grateful to God for several things that have contributed to make me what I am. Highest in the list of the things I'm grateful to God for is that Jesus found me and saved me. That's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I'm most grateful to God for that. But besides knowing Jesus, I'm very, very grateful that in God's grace, He sent me to a school called Bishops in Pune. And when I went to that school, there was a principal in my time called Mr. Lund, who didn't teach so much. Even when he came to teach us geography, we would take him off on some trails. He used to love talking to us and telling us stories. So instead of teaching geography, as soon as he came, we naughty boys would always tell him, "Sir, what about the time you went on that shikar?" And there he would go off on his tall tales. But he spent a lot of time teaching us boys. Things like, you know, you see a piece of paper lying there, learn to pick it up. What a simple thing. You see a piece of dirt lying there, do something about it. Simple, right? I went to Operation Mobilization Office many moons ago. And there was a list of things, simple things that you're supposed to do. But that notice had to be put up because most of us don't do the simple things. And the notice went something like this: if you open it, shut it. If you use the glass, wash it. If you switch on the light, switch it off when you leave. Simple things, right? But we forget to do it. I thought about these things, and I thought as we enter into another year, it could be another year of opportunities to serve, to be useful. And so I thought of this man, Tychicus. And I have already had some responses from BCCS, and about one response when I mentioned the name Tychicus is, who's Tychicus, right? And that's the wonderful thing about Tychicus. He's this, who's Tychicus? I mean, who's he? And if you ever ask a question like that about any person, well, who's Chris? I mean, who's Tychicus? You're implying what? He's not important, right? Of course he's not. And most of us could easily feel like that. I mean, who's Tychicus? Don't you so often say about yourself, who am I? I mean, I'm not that important, right? I can sit somewhere and nobody notices me. I'm not very important. One of us this evening talked about significance, right? I fail to understand that I have a significance in Christ and I have a significance in serving Christ. And my whole purpose this evening in preaching about Tychicus is to encourage you to recognize that you are to serve. You are important to God.
And in God's service, in God's church, in God's ministry, there is something for you to do, even if it is just to rinse those glasses after you drink from it. So let me give you all the verses that the whole New Testament has on Tychicus, alright? And here they are. First, in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. Acts chapter 20, verse 4. If you turn to Acts 20, Paul is in the Macedonia, and Macedonia, of course, is connected to Greece, right? And he's there, and we have a few more bits of information about this chapter a little later, but we're just reading these verses. Chapter 20 of Acts and verse 4 speak of several people. So Peter the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied Paul, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy. Several names. And then it says, and the Asians, these are Asians, there's Tychicus and Trophimus. That's all it says. They're Asians. Then you turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21. And this is what it says. So that you also, that is, you Ephesians also, may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant of the Lord, in the Lord, will tell you everything. That was Ephesians chapter 6 verse 21. And then you have Colossians chapter 4 verse 7. In Colossians chapter 4 verse 7, it says, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister or servant and fellow servant in the Lord. So we're gathering information about Tychicus, and I hope this will be very inspirational for us. Then you turn to the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, and in chapter 4 of the second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul writes this about Tychicus. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And not to be left behind is Titus. May I remind you, as you turn to Titus, that both Timothy and Titus were appointed bishops or pastors or elders in two separate regions. Timothy in Ephesus and Titus in Crete, to look after the church. They had been discipled and mentored and trained by the Apostle Paul, and he had given them those two areas of church responsibility. Ephesus and Titus was given Crete. In Titus chapter 3 verse 12, he says, when I send Artemas or Tychicus, either Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. That's all the verses about Tychicus. That's it. Now how do we make a whole sermon out of this? Well, it's very interesting. First of all, let's look at the background of Tychicus. So that's my first point, the background of Tychicus. His name actually means fortunate. That's a good name to have, right? He's a lucky man. He's a man who is fortunate. Privileged would be a better word. I don't know how you feel about yourself, but I feel very, very privileged. In fact, I feel very privileged even when I look at my whole life from my childhood and think of all the things that God took me through. Many of my friends say, when they know my history from my childhood, they say, oh, you suffered so much. And I think, what a privilege that has been, because I learned so much through suffering. What a privilege I had to have a mom like my mom. What a privilege to have been through Bishop School. And you know, the double privilege, I didn't pay for it at all. I got it all free. And then, as a teenager, what a privilege. I think even before I entered my teenage years, some person whom I've no memory of put a postcard in my hand which led me to study Mark, John, Romans, Galatians, and the Acts of the Apostles. Right through my middle school years, verse by verse. And then read through the whole New Testament. What a privilege I've had that when I was 15, the lights came on and I understood who Jesus is. What a privilege to study the Bible. What a privilege then to be called of God to be His servant. I'm very privileged. But my name is not Tychicus. Tychicus means privileged. Brothers and sisters, you are what? Privileged to be here, to belong to Christ. And then think of all the small and big things that you have the privilege of. You know, even those of us like myself, you know, we had no money yet in my childhood. We had no money. We ate leftover food. But what a privilege. At least we had food, right? When there are millions who have no food. I stayed in a little house and when it rained, it leaked. My mom so often sat at the table all night with my kid sisters, covering them up in the cold winters or the rainy days. And I and my older sisters would be sent off to a rich neighbor's home because they were kind enough to say, you kids come and sleep in our home every night. But I had shelter, right? We are all privileged. We just got to understand that we are privileged. He's an Asian. Acts chapter 20 verse 4 says that. That's his background. An Asian. Which part of Asia? Asia Minor. He was a convert from there. He became a Christian. He was a Gentile. Most likely, Paul took him on his journeys. We are quite sure that he accompanied Paul through his third missionary journey or church planting journey. And if you look carefully in Acts chapter 20, and I told you we'll look at some more information. Acts chapter 20 is about what? It actually is connected with chapter 17, 18, 19, and then 20. It's all about Paul going around Asia Minor. And he's telling Gentile churches, you know, you Gentiles, the gospel didn't come to you first. It came to the Jews. And now the Jewish church that actually first, in some ways, not always, but in some specific ways, cared for you and brought the gospel to you. That Jewish church is experiencing a famine. And so you Gentiles have an opportunity from God, and that comes through even in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. You have an opportunity to now collect some money to send to the Jewish believers. And remember, the Jewish and the Gentile Christians always had a tussle about loving each other. One thought they were superior to the other. And so Tychicus is involved with Paul in chapter 20, traveling, collecting money from his fellow believers, from his fellow Christians, from the churches that he represents as a Gentile, money for the needy Jewish believers in Jerusalem. And Paul is eventually going to send Tychicus with Titus to carry the money to Jerusalem. So this is his background. He is a man who traveled with Paul. He had been a companion of Paul. He helped Paul in the ministry. He could be trusted with money. He was a reliable companion. And not only a reliable companion, but he became very capable of doing something. You might say, what did he do, you know? We don't find him preaching. What's he doing? He's doing something with money. Helping in the collection of money and carrying of money to the churches. So that's the background. Do these verses say anything about the character of Tychicus? Let's look at it. Tychicus is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 21 as what? If you look at that verse, one of those phrases says, Tychicus, the beloved, what? What does it say? Brother. Who do Christians call brother or sister? But fellow Christians. So one of the first things we learn about Tychicus is that he is a simple Christian. He's a brother. He's a Christian. The same thing is said in Colossians chapter 4 verse 7. He is a beloved brother. Now you might call each other brother, but then there are some whom you kind of get a little more attached to, don't you? And who's writing Ephesians and Colossians? But this great Paul. And for Paul to say, you know, Tychicus is a beloved brother. It's like the hero. Paul is a hero of all the churches. And he's saying, Tychicus, I love him very much. This Tychicus was lovable. And I don't think Paul loved sentimentally and emotionally. Paul was always busy about the master's business. He must have said beloved about this brother, because he saw in Tychicus an attitude of service. Look further. In Ephesians and Colossians, there is another phrase there which we need to pick up. And that phrase is not only beloved brother, but faithful minister. Look at that word faithful. What does faithful mean? It means several things. One thing faithful means is I can trust him. He is someone, when I give him some responsibility, what does he do? Certainly he doesn't drop the ball. You know how it is with some? Oh, I forgot. I forgot. I'm so sorry. And even that sorry is like, you know, I mean, can't you understand? I forgot. Faithful means I can trust him. Not only when I give him responsibility, he'll do it, but you know, I can depend on him. If I need someone, if I need some help, who do I call on? The faithful one. The faithful one. I know I can count on you. I mean, I'm in need. I need help. I can count on Jesus. There's something more about being faithful. Faithful also means loyal. There's loyalty. Loyalty. One of the saddest thing that happens in our relationships is that we are not loyal. And it's not the kind of loyalty that tolerates nonsense, alright? Our older son and I were driving down from home to the seminary. He had to take me there, and I was going to teach just last month in the middle of the crisis. And he was going through his own crisis. And I said, you know, Sammy, I'm your dad and you're my son. We better not be biased on one another's sides because we are dad and son. There must be truth and honesty and righteousness. Loyalty is not about blood. Loyalty is about Jesus. And the Apostle Paul is able to say, Tychicus is faithful. He's loyal. Beloved brother, faithful minister, well loved because of his qualities of character and attitude. We move on. This Asian, privileged, not well known, normal Christian who was faithful and well loved, he was also available. Available. If you look at chapter 20 of the book of Acts, you find that he was available both in times of persecution. You look at the middle of chapter 19, there was a riot in Ephesus. Paul had to flee from one place to another. He was always on the run. In chapter 20, there are tensions and persecutions. I mean, you just had to put Paul anywhere and there was trouble. Because he was committed to the gospel and to Christ. And he was always hunted down by those who didn't like Jesus or the gospel. And here's Tychicus, who stood by the Apostle Paul. When Paul needed company in times of persecution, Tychicus was available. But in chapter 20, as I've already told you, when Paul needed someone to help him collect money and count the offering and then make sure it reaches destination without being siphoned off, he could count on Tychicus. And you might think I'm adding the siphoned off business. But turn to 2 Corinthians. And you see in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, and verse 20, Paul is talking about the different people who are involved in collecting the money. In verse 20 he says, "We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. Verse 21, for we aim at what is honorable not only in the Lord's sight but also in the sight of man." Being accountable, being above board in the collecting of money and the dispensing of funds, Tychicus was available. Not only was he available for that in Acts chapter 20, but turn to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 21 and Colossians 4, 7. And what do you see? Paul is saying in both that Tychicus will tell you everything about how I am and what I am doing. That's Ephesians. In Colossians he says, he will tell you all about my activities. What Paul was doing with Tychicus was sending him as a courier with the letters of Ephesians and the letter of Colossians, as well as the letter to Philemon. Paul says to Tychicus, hey, can you carry these letters and go to Ephesus and go to Colossae and go to this man called Philemon and give them these letters and also inform them about what's happening with me and what I'm doing. And what is Tychicus' response? I'm available, sure. Anytime, Paul. And remember, in those days, journeying was not by, you know, you hop on a train or you get into a bus or you get into a rickshaw. You had to go through either donkey transport or walk or run or take a ship and maybe get shipwrecked on the way. And it was not easy to travel. But he was available. Simple. And then if you look at what Paul says about Tychicus and Timothy and Titus, he says, look, I'm sending Tychicus to Ephesus, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. Tychicus I'm sending to Ephesus. And who's in Ephesus? Timothy. Timothy was wanted by Paul to replace Timothy. Hey, can you go and be a substitute? Not the main guy, just a substitute. Can you hold the fort for some time? Tychicus is available. Same thing in Crete, Titus chapter 3 verse 12. Titus, I need you to come to me at Nicopolis. And to replace you, I'm going to send either Artemas or Tychicus. Hey Tychicus, can you just go and substitute for Titus for some time? So sometimes it's Timothy, sometimes it's Titus. Hey, you're just shuffling me around. I mean, you just fit me whenever you need it. I'm just a man for your convenience. Tijika says, it's okay. I'm available. As simple as that. Right, let's get to another thing about Tychicus. In Ephesians chapter 6, what does it say about Tychicus? We find the servant heart of Tychicus. The servant heart of Tychicus. What's he known as? He is known as not just faithful, but faithful servant. Faithful minister. In Colossians, faithful minister and fellow servant. And the word there for minister is diakonos. Diakonos, a deacon. He's just a deacon, he's not even an elder. What does this word minister mean? Servant mean? Diakonos mean? Means one who runs errands. Hey, can you go and get the dahi? Can you warm up the tea? As you're warming up the tea, where's the sugar? Can you run and get some sugar? The water is over. Can you run and get the water? Running errands. That word means an attendant. An attendant. Someone who waits on others. It can mean a waiter, one who waits at tables, or is engaged in any other menial duty. Interestingly, this same word is even used of the pastor. Did you know that? The pastor is an elder, but he is also known as a waiter. And that's why John MacArthur has an interesting thing about his own pastoral duty as a preacher and expositor of the Word of God. He says, you know, I am a waiter. I don't cook the food. I don't prepare the meal. It's already prepared. My job is to make sure that I carry the food that is already prepared to the table without dropping it. I'm just a waiter. I'm just an errand boy. That is significant, right? Who loves to be an errand boy? My mom. I thank God for my mom. She taught me as a little boy, as she worked as a maid servant in the neighbor's home, she taught me to be her assistant. You know, because the housekeepers used to say, hey, can you go and get us this? And can you go and get us that? Oh, sure. I learned to be an errand boy. I want to die being an errand boy for Jesus. Tychicus. I've added one more, which is not in your outline. The reliability of Tychicus. It's just like faithfulness. And I want to emphasize this again. Because when I think of Paul sending Tychicus to replace Timothy in Ephesus and to replace Titus in Crete, you've got to see the beginning of Titus to understand this. Turn to chapter 1 of Titus. Chapter 1 of Titus. And see what Paul says as the reason for sending Titus to Crete. Verse 5 of chapter 1 of the book of Titus. He says, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And then from verse 6 to 9, he gives a list of the qualifications for those whom Titus should appoint as elders in Crete. But then jump to verse 10. He says, "For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, deceivers. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families." So Crete was a terrible place to serve in. And Paul chooses Tychicus, not only to replace Timothy sometimes in Ephesus, but to replace Titus in Crete, because he needs Titus with him in Nicopolis. Paul was willing and confident to give responsibility to Tychicus in so many different ways. So that's Tychicus, faithful, available, a servant. And when Paul said, "Hey, can you do this for me? Hey, I want you to go," he was obedient. Someone added a T to this whole dynamic that makes up Tychicus, and said he was also teachable. I couldn't find a verse to spell out Tychicus' teachability, but I'm sure he was. But the man who added the T wanted to make F-A-T-S-O. You got it? Be a fatso for Jesus. Faithful, available, teachable, a servant, and obedient. Why was Tychicus like this? There's only one reason. It's because Jesus had become so very special and precious to him. You know, we're going to sing a song now as Aaron comes forward. Not this Aaron, but our music leader, Aaron. And it says, "I will serve you." And I want you to look at those words. "I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you came." What's the rest? "To die on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me." You know, if we really worship Jesus, if we really love Jesus, if we really adore Jesus, we would be available to serve him wholeheartedly. Let's sing that, and then I'm going to be breaking you all up into groups to discuss something very, very important.